This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
We're pleased to be joined now by the general manager of the Calgary Flames, Jay Feaster. Jay, good afternoon. Thanks very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, guys.
Jay, we got to start with the Flames' start to the season. You know, you look around the NHL and there's a lot of people sort of expressing surprise at how impressive the Flames have been to the start of the season, very competitive in pretty much every game for the most part. How impactful has head coach Bob Hartley been on the youthful roster that the Flames are sporting this year?
Well, he's been a huge factor, there's no question. And I think you have to go back even to last year and the truncated season that we had, and when we made the decision that we were going to go with a rebuild, he was pretty clear in his communication with the players at the end of the season in our exit meetings, and he stayed clear in his communication with them over the summer that it was going to be a difficult training camp. It was one that they had better be prepared for and come in good shape, and to the players' credit, they did that. And I think the players recognized from day one of camp the message that we've been preaching, and that is that we don't have the superstar players. We're not the most talented group in the league. That the whole has to be greater than the sum of its parts, and that the only way we're going to have success is if we bring that mentality and a solid work ethic to every game. And for the most part, we've done that. I think if you look at our last three games, four games, we've kind of gotten away from it a little bit. We've been very, very poor in our starts. We've fallen behind. And certainly I think the low point of our season was the game here on Thursday night against Dallas. We're really blown out by a Dallas team that has had our number this year. So that's what we're trying to get back to now. And it's what Bob is trying to reinstill in the guys, is to get back to our lunch pail mentality.
You know, Jay, you just acquired Ladislav Smead from Edmonton, and you know, I think you'd mentioned that the talks have been going on for some time. How did those talks come about? Is that something where you reached out to the Oilers and saw a possibility there? Is that something that the Oilers kind of put a player like that out in the market and you approach them?
Well, the way it typically works is that at some point in time as a manager, you'll pick up the phone, and sometimes you'll do it with all 29 teams, that you'll literally make it a point that over the next day or so, I'm going to try to talk to all 29 of my counterparts. But at other times, it's more selective. It may be a team that's not going well, or a team that you get some sense is trying to do something. In this instance, McTee had phoned me, and it was just that kind of a casual conversation. What are you looking to do? And you tell them, well, we're trying to improve our blue line. How about you? Well, you know, we're trying to do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And in that case, we had a number of conversations, and Craig asked if he said, would a guy like Smead be of interest to you? And I think we were clear as we started down the path that what was important to Edmonton was to free up some cap space. Right. And certainly they had identified Ladislav as a guy that they were willing to part with to do that. And it just so happened that he was a player that we had as an acquire in trade from our pro scouts. Our guys have seen him a lot. They feel that they know the kind of player he is, and we've always appreciated his character and the way he plays the game. So that's really the genesis of how that got started, and then you try to see if you can find a match in terms of what the other team is looking for and what you're willing to give up.
Jay, the most recent trade that you made with the Edmonton Oilers, and it was much talked about at the time the trade was made, it was only the second trade ever between the Calgary Flames and the Edmonton Oilers. And you hear about some teams not liking to trade within their own division. What's your perspective on making trades within your own division?
I think, honestly, that you have to be in a situation where if you're getting the player that you want, and if, therefore, it's good for you, and you're prepared to part with the player that the other team wants, you have to be prepared to give up something to get something. And I don't think that you can afford it. It's hard enough in this day and age to make trades in the National Hockey League. I'm not sure that you can just exclude a division or you exclude an opponent because you know you're going to see them quite a bit. And I would say that that's how Edmonton approached it as well. And I would certainly think that McTee would echo that it's difficult to do deals. And so it doesn't make sense just to exclude a subset of trading partners.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. The Calgary Flames make their first visit to Winnipeg since the Jets moved back to Winnipeg on Monday night. We're joined by Flames general manager Jay Feaster right now. Jay, prior to coming to Calgary, your previous management experience was in Tampa Bay, or your most recent management experience was in Tampa Bay, rather. How different is it being an executive in a Canadian hotbed like Calgary than in the untraditional hockey market like Tampa Bay?
Oh, as you can imagine, it's night and day. Certainly when I went to Tampa as an assistant GM back in 1998, it was a constant matter of trying to make hockey relevant in that market. And I think that over the years, I mean, we won the Southeast Division a couple of times, and then we win the Cup in 04. I think that we went a long way to making it relevant in the market, but it's totally different here. It is an ingrained way of life. I say that it's bigger than religion. You're in a situation where it's 24/7. There are radio stations that are devoted entirely to talking about Flames hockey, and the attention that it draws, the attention that you get from the fans, people that you go to the grocery store, you go to church, people want to talk about the team. So It really is a totally different experience. And what's great about it is that even when you're not having success, it's still great to know that the people have that passion. I would much rather having to be talking about why this isn't working, or why the power play is not going, or why we drafted this particular player over that one. I'd rather be answering those kind of questions than trying to get fans to be passionate about what you're doing.
You know, Jay, when you look around the National Hockey League, and you were a general manager in the AHL, a very successful general manager in the AHL for many years. I'm wondering, in your perspective, it seems like the development curve for some of these junior age players, and they get drafted, and they're maybe too good for the Canadian Hockey League after their draft year, but maybe not good enough to play in the NHL, but aren't able to play in the AHL because of the age requirements. Do you see that changing at all? What's your perspective on that rule?
I think you're exactly right in your premise and in the thesis that you put forth. I honestly don't see that changing. I think that the relationship between the CHL and the National Hockey League, it's the historical relationship. I think it's so ingrained, and I don't. It's interesting that you say it, because it's occasionally you'll have a GM talk about it at a GM's meeting, and it's something that typically just does not get any traction. I don't think we're going to see the system change anytime soon.
Jay, during the offseason, Brian Burke was brought into the Flames organization. In the short time that Brian Burke has been with the Calgary Flames, what kind of impact has he had on the organization?
The biggest impact, I think, is just being a resource for us, being a sounding board, being someone who we can throw ideas off of when we're considering something, or he will come to us and say, we just got this email that player X is available. What do you guys think of him? And can he help us? If so, who are we taking out of the lineup? Who do we have to send down? How do we make a roster spot? Again, just challenging us and being there as a sounding board. In the case of Smead, for example, we felt we knew the player. We see Edmonton a lot. We scout Edmonton a lot. We watch them. So we felt that we knew what we were getting as far as on the ice, but we're able to go to a guy like Brian, who, of course, he had him. He had him when he was in Anaheim and traded him in the Pronger deal. And so you're able to go to Brian and talk about, tell us about this guy as a person. How was he in the room for you when you had him? What's his reputation? So those are the kind of things that are very, very helpful.
And Jay, looking at your team is obviously rebuilding right now, but you have a pretty strong core on the back end. Obviously, there's some injuries there, but when healthy, you know, Giordano, Weidman, and TJ Brody, and you've brought in Ladislav Smead. How important is it for a rebuilding team to have a strong defense to be able to kind of develop those younger forwards?
It's huge, and that's why also you take one step back from the blue line, and that is that the one area that we have to shore up, and we need to get some answers that send us in the right direction, we need to shore up the goaltending too. Mm-hmm. I agree with you about the defense, and really the guys you mentioned, probably the best defenseman for us through the first 19-20 games this year is a guy you didn't mention, and that's Chris Russell.
Yeah,
Russ has just been phenomenal for us, and as you know, I mean, we were looking with the Smead deal, we were looking to improve our blue line before the injury to Mark Giordano. once Giordano went down, that just put a spotlight on our need to improve the blue line. And you saw it with our 5-6 guys, Derek Smith and Shane O'Brien, averaging less than or right around 10 minutes a game. And you look at a guy like Dennis Weidman, averaging the second most minutes in the National Hockey League for a defenseman, behind only Ryan Suter. So everybody, I think everybody's playing more minutes than we're comfortable with, and really that they're comfortable with, and where they're most effective. So that's why this Smead deal, he played almost 21 minutes the other night. I think you're going to start to see that balance out. And when we get Giordano back, I think you'll see the minutes smooth out even more.
Right.
So it is important to have that good group of defensemen. And as I said, now the other thing we need to do is we need some answers between the pipes.
Jay, we'll let you go on this last question. As you're no doubt aware, there's the advanced, you know, metrics, the advanced analytics movement in hockey. There was the big conference in Toronto last weekend that coincides with the Hockey Hall of Fame weekend. How much weight do you personally put on advanced analytics in player evaluation, and how much weight does the Flames as an organization put on it?
When I took over as GM, one of the first hires I made was bringing Chris Snow in as our director of video and statistical analysis. Chris had been with the Minnesota Wild organization. We rely very heavily on the PUCKS, P-U-C-K-S, the PUCKS system. It's both a video and a statistical database-driven system, and we use that a lot. It allows us to look at all sorts of information on players and matchups, and from a statistical perspective, what are league averages? How does this player compare to the league average for what shots are goals, whatever the case may be? We're very much aware of Corsi and Fenwick, but our primary focus is on the utilization of pucks. And we do utilize that before we make deals. If we're talking about a guy like Smead, we're going to run those, what we consider to be advanced analytics on the player before we do the deal.
Jay Feaster is the general manager of the Calgary Flames. They'll play the Oilers tonight. Jay, best of luck in your game tonight, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday here in Winnipeg when the Flames make their first visit.
Thanks. We're looking forward to it as well. Look forward to being there.
Take care, Jay. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we get into the Jets-Flyers game from last night. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
Catch the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live Saturdays on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.